Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Praise be to Almighty God. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, openly declaring that Allah is the one God and there are no partners with Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings to everyone in Juma Mubarak. Welcome to Share Your Jummah. Our khatib today, Imam Abdul Aziz of Bronx, New York, Masjid Adam Center for Human Excellence. We're going to open his mic now, and let's prepare for Jummah, everyone. Praise be to Almighty God. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. In about 5 minutes, we're going to begin, inshallah.
Inshallah. All right. The first call has been made, Imam.
Yeah, it's already been made. We're gonna, as soon as the second call comes, we're gonna get started, inshallah. We usually start at 1:10 sharp, so we got 5 minutes. Or four minutes.
Thank you very much. All right. Assalamu alaikum. We'll keep your mic open.
Wa alaikum salam tullahi wa barakatuh. Juma Mubarak.
Juma Mubarak. All right, dear listeners, as you heard, 110 sharp, we will begin. Let's see here. As we're in the mode, for those who are, you heard that the first call has been made, and the structure for Juma is that you make your personal prayers to Rakat. You've already entered into the space and time of Juma. So please, by all means, make your prayers and prepare your mind for Juma, for the khutbah, the service that will be coming forth to us again from Bronx, New York, Imam Abdul Aziz. I'm going to proceed myself, and we have about one more minute, and we will hear from the imam. So everyone, thank you for being here. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salat. Hayya al-salat. هيا الأفلاك هيا الأفلاك الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة الله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على صفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى أهله الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين والسلام على إمام ورفدين والسلام علينا وعلى عباده الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله واتقوا نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تذكروا كالذين نسوها فأنسهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed, and we begin with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We praise him and we seek his aid. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of his grace to establish his prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon his noble messenger, the seal of the prophets and messengers, his choice of creation, our chief and leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask the same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his family members who follow him in purification. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish the very same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. And we ask the forgiveness of Allah and mercy upon the followers and upon their followers in goodness to the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his mercy as well as his peace upon Imam Dr. Wafuddin Muhammad, as we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where they may be, no matter where they may be from, and to all of that we say ameen. I openly bear witness that there is none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger. Allah calls our attention in the Quran and he says, O ye who have obtained true faith, be mindful of Allah and fear him with a rational fear, and let every person consider what they put out for tomorrow, and be mindful of Allah, fear him rationally, for surely he is aware, and only he is aware of everything that you do. And do not be like those who forget Allah, and as a result he causes them to forget themselves. Truly these are they who are the transgressive people. Dear brothers and sisters, we want to welcome all of you to Al-Masjid Al-Alam, the Community Life Center for Human Excellence. We are here in the Bronx, and we want you to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is favoring us by virtue of him allowing us to be able to stand before him in the masjids at this day during this blessed time in front of a blessed congregation. And so we begin by offering the greeting to you, the greeting of peace, the greeting of paradise, the greetings of the angels, the greeting that's not just a regular saying of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as we go forward, dear brothers and sisters, we want to recognize the our seasoned members, recognize all of those who continue to sacrifice and even to this day sacrifice in an effort to establish Islam here in a place like the Bronx, in a place like New York, in a place like America, establishing Islam. And so, as the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have it, on this particular day, the current affairs in society and outside of society that we know it, but we're watching things take place abroad.
and we're hearing about some of the most tragic stories. We're hearing about terrible things. We're hearing about terrible things taking place. And when you talk about an answer to that question, because everybody wants to know what the Muslims are saying, what are the Muslims saying about what's happening right now? What are the Muslims talking about? I'm here to tell you today, dear brothers and sisters, that that matter that we're referring to is the matter related to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and the Israelis and the people that govern Israel. But I'm here to tell you also, dear brothers and sisters, it has nothing to do with Christian, Jew, or Muslim. It's all politics. And because it's all politics, we're not here to address the politics. But I will say to you today, dear brothers and sisters, I'll just simply ask the question, Ain al-Rahmah, where is the compassion? Where is the mercy? What happened to all of that? You want to tie in religion, but the religions that you tie in are religions that are proponents of everything that has compassion. We are opponents of everything that's against compassion. When you look at the Jewish community, their standard, they take pride in this idea behind compassion, this idea behind mercy. They take pride in that. So everything that we see today is against that. So how can that be a Jewish thing? When we look at our Christian brothers and sisters, they take pride in compassion. They take pride in mutual harmony, kindness. They take pride, it's a standard in their faith to be loving and caring for those who you know and those who you do not know. This is their standard. Their standard is mercy. And so I ask you today, dear brothers and sisters, where is the mercy? Where is the compassion? You don't hear it on the news. You don't hear it coming from the legislators. You don't hear it coming from the commentators. You hear all of this thing that's talking sound to me like a whole lot of revenge. But where is the religion? You want to blame religious people for the acts. But is that the religion? Is that really the religion of Judaism? Is that really the religion of Islam? Is that really the religion of Christianity? Where is the mercy, dear brothers and sisters? Where is the compassion? When you look at the events that have taken place in the last week, you'll find that they are indeed some perpetrators, whoever they are knows best. I'm not here to debate who they are, and I'm not here to be on their side or against. I'm here to be on the side of all of those innocent people. What about the innocent people who are not taking up arms? What about the innocent people that don't know anything about war, that don't know anything about politics? What about those innocent civilians? What about the little girl who died and they thought she was Palestinian and they found out she was Israeli? What about the family who they killed who they thought was Palestinian but the family was Israeli? What about the Israeli family that died? And what about the Palestinian family that died? What about them? What about the ones they meant to kill, although they were unarmed? So I ask all of you today, you religious men and women, who say you're about Islam, who say you're about Judaism, because I know they're watching us. But my question to you today is not political. It's based on the religion, based on humanity. Where is the compassion? You cut off their water. You don't allow them to have food. You drive them out of their homes and tell them they have 24 hours left. Where is the compassion? Where is it? Where is the compassion? You got 24 hours to leave. You got nowhere to go. Not even a vehicle to get you there. You lost your mother. You lost your father. You lost your grandparents. You lost your home. Where is the compassion, dear brothers and sisters? And you can look at that from any side you want to look at that. But if you're telling me about religion, then you need to find the compassion today. We're calling on all of the legislators, find some compassion. You want us to help to that environment, to those people who are perpetuating a genocide? Where is the compassion, dear brothers and sisters? Where is the compassion? When you look at this idea being presented, these are circumstances that no one would wish upon anyone. These are circumstances that nobody likes. These are circumstances that tell you that there has to be a solution, there has to be some peace established. And if we're working toward that, then you can find the compassion, dear brothers and sisters. You can find the compassion to set aside the hate, to set aside the trauma, to set aside all of the things that you think that are the things that are inhumane. Set those things aside and find some compassion. When is it enough, dear brothers and sisters? When is it enough for us to begin as people who say we have a faith, who say that we can go and allow the tremendous burden of cleaning up after someone who's made a decision that you played no part in? You tell me where the fairness is. Where is the compassion? You tell me where it is, dear brothers and sisters. Don't talk to me about the politics. Don't talk to me about the nose and nobody. Don't come to me and ask me, what do I think about the Israelis? Don't ask me what I think about the Palestinians. Don't ask me what I think about any of those groups that they've come up with as an excuse to continue to orchestrate widespread killing of innocent people. Don't ask me about that. Ask me about what the religion says. The religion says that you shouldn't harm no one. The religion says that you should not take anyone's property without their permission. The religion says that you should be an aider of those in need. Guess what religion says it? Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So I ask all of you today, dear brothers and sisters, where is the compassion? You tell me where the compassion is. Compassion is not when I feel something because it happened to me. Compassion is when, even though it didn't happen directly to me, I feel something. It didn't happen to me. It didn't happen to my family members. It didn't happen to somebody in my faith. But I still feel it. Compassion is when I have an opportunity to crush everything around me, and I say, no, I'm not going to do that. When you look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was attacked by some people. And he was in a town called Taif. He wasn't there causing any problems. He wasn't there causing any disturbances. He wasn't there looking for a fight. He wasn't trying to orchestrate anything that would cause anyone any harm. He wasn't antagonizing no one. All he was doing was trying to share with them the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. And in response to that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was beaten. And he was stoned. So much that blood was clogging up in his sandals. And when that was over with, he was taking a breath, and he found some shade. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to him, and they asked him, do you want us to destroy this town? And the Prophet said, no, perhaps those who come after them will understand. Perhaps those people who will come after them, perhaps their descendants, will be those people who will accept the message. And this town was called the town of Taif. And it's in Arabia somewhere. I've never been there, so I couldn't tell you exactly where it is. But the town itself is still standing. And when you go into that particular town, it's very peaceful. Go read about it. Look it up online. You'll see. Look at the population of Muslims there now. Look at the population of religious men and women that are in that town now. But the Prophet had every right to get some revenge. hit everywhere. You beat me, you kicked me, you stoned me, you made sure that I was not welcome here. But the Prophet refused. Why? Out of compassion. The Prophet did it out of compassion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, you were sent as a mercy. And he said himself, I have been sent as a mercy to all the worlds. A mercy. A rahmah. And at that rahmah, every follower of Muhammad is about rahmah, is about mercy. It's about mercy first, without taking revenge, without harming someone that doesn't deserve harm, without harming the defenseless, the elderly, the children, the women, and even unarmed men in war. Islam says, don't harm them. In war, the Prophet ﷺ instructed the companions that you can't tear down a tree. You can't kill any of their livestock. You're not allowed to burn anybody's house. You're not allowed to pillage their women or take any of their property. These were the conditions that when war was established, these were the conditions. These were the outstanding features of compassion. These were the outstanding features of compassion that we don't see today. They declared war, dear brothers and sisters, but where is the compassion? How dare you tie a religion into that? What religion declares that? What religion declares indiscriminate killing? What religion declares the killing of those who have nothing to do with the conflict, who didn't start it, who didn't perpetrate it, who didn't promote it? What religion, dear brothers and sisters? Most certainly not Judaism, most certainly not Christianity, and most certainly not Islam. And so I appeal to all of those who are listening today and here today with us, and I say to you that whatever message you have that is based on politics, don't even bother. Talk about the religion and the compassion that we're supposed to see and we don't see it. Remind those people who have the authority to change the condition, who have this weird opinion about people who don't side with them. Because I don't side with that doesn't mean that I side with evil. It means that I side with what Allah says. As a Muslim, I'm not allowed to give you my opinion on matters that Allah has already decided on. So I'm not going to tell you what I say. I'm going to tell you what Allah said. And he said that oppression is worse than slaughter. He said that if you kill the life of an innocent person, it's like you killed the life of all mankind. This is the one who is the Lord and cherisher and sustainer of all creation. But he is also the author of mercy. When we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Ya arhamar rahimin, O merciful of all those who show mercy. And we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that because we're asking him for mercy on us. So how can you claim that, you know, claim mercy or claim that you serve the merciful one, but you are merciless? The Prophet said that he who does not show mercy to men will not have mercy from the one who is above the heavens. So we have to be merciful in our dealings. And we have to consider thinking, giving doing some critical thinking, and asking ourselves, was that fair? Asking ourselves, was that merciful? Asking ourselves, did I really do the right thing? Did I really treat that person well? Or did I mistreat that person? Where is the mercy, dear brothers and sisters? Tell me, where is the compassion? When they relate the news and they say that they're cutting off their water and they're cutting off their food and they're cutting off their resources. And then the person giving you that news or saying it like as if it's okay, that that's not life that we need to consider. All of those women and children and elderly people who are not people who are soldiers, who are not people that are in the military. They're not enlisted. These are people who have nothing to do with war. And how do you call that war when people are not even armed or being killed? People are not even trying to engage anyone in combat. How can you call that war, dear brothers and sisters? And so the politics themselves are politics that are using religion in order to have their way. And they turn people against each other, and they somewhat guilt-trip you into saying things that you shouldn't say. So I feel an obligation toward these people who are blatant. They're wrong. I'm not a good friend if I can't tell you when you're wrong. I would advise you to disassociate yourself with anyone that claims to be your friend, and they won't tell you when you're wrong. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Allah says, وَلَا كَانَ لِينَ نَسُولَهَا Do not be like those who forget Allah, and Allah, as a result, causes them to forget themselves. Don't be like that. Remember Allah in the trespass. Remember Allah when things are good. Remember Allah when things are going bad. Don't just call on Him when things are going bad for you. Don't say just, as God we trust, but in reality, when it's time for you to do something in the name of God, you're not doing it. Where is the compassion, dear brothers and sisters? There is a serious need for that. And our conversations to be that. Forget about the politics. Let's try to find some compassion somewhere. Ayn al-Rahman. Where is the compassion? Where is it? I need to see it. And until I see it, dear brothers and sisters, my spirit is going to be uneasy. Until I see it, then I'm not going to feel right about any of these situations or any conversation that doesn't lead, dear brothers and sisters, to this compassion. Where is the compassion? We look at our religion and we find that it's a very logical faith. You do what Allah loves, and then He loves you back. But don't do what Allah hates and then you turn around and expect to get love from Him. And so we have this saying by our dear Imam, Waliduddin bin Muhammad Rahimahullah, who was very fond and very, very, very close to the Palestinian cause. And he was close to the Palestinian cause on the basis of them getting their rights, on the basis of them receiving some level of compassion and mercy from the perpetrators, who are not religious men and women. Their actions don't speak for Judaism no more than it speaks for Christianity. Because the message of Judaism and Christianity is a message of compassion. It's a message of mercy. But Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, said, follow the logic to its logical conclusion. How is it that we as a people will not dare to show mercy, but yet we ask the Creator to have mercy on us? But we show no mercy on the people. The defenseless men and women who have died, may Allah be pleased with them. May He grant them Jannah. Those people who are defenseless had no means to defend themselves. These women and children. These individuals on both sides of the spectrum. When we talk about compassion, we're talking about compassion in human form. We're talking about compassion for humanity. We're talking about compassion on the basis of the compassion that the Creator has given us. So we're living in a society that hasn't been touched, but yet it has been touched because it's affecting everybody else. Everybody wants to take sides. But what about God's side? What about Allah's side? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by virtue of His grace, He made it clear His position on mercy. In the Quran, you see, the Muslims are commanded to do what? To establish justice. Even if it's against themselves. Muslims. The Muslims are encouraged to reflect the upon the mercy that they seek. When we do actions, our act is not considered valid until we begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Until we begin with the Basmala, which is the blessed statement, and it is to say, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. To start our actions by virtue of us doing it with mercy in mind. With mercy in mind. The Prophet said, Kullu amri la yabdahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim wa huwa asdam. That every act that does not begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the blessed statement, the statement that invokes mercy, that act will be cut off. And so Bismillah, for the Muslim, he prays five times a day. He says that 17 times a day. He's saying, Rahma, Rahma, Rahman ar-Rahim, Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And it's repetitive. We're reminded all the time about this mercy. The heart of the Quran is called Surah Al-Rahman, the heart of the Quran. The heart of the Holy Quran is in the Surah called Al-Rahman, and Al-Rahman is the compassionate, the merciful. When we define Rahman, we see that the term Rahman is a term that involves mercy to all humanity. People you know and you don't know. Those who say they're Muslim, those who say they're Christian, those who say they're true, they receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a general basis. It goes without saying. He has shown you mercy. He starts out by giving you mercy. Right? But then we turn around and we see that there is a type of mercy that's for every single person. And we look at this idea being presented. In the Quran, you see that the term Rahmah or its derivatives are in the Quran a number of times. As a nominal, it's in the Quran, Rahim, 116 times. 114 times, Rahmah as a noun. Rahmah, 114 times. 57 times, it's in there, Rahman, Rahman, 57 times. 25 times as a form one verb, Rahima, Rahima, sorry, Rahima, in the Quran. 12 times as a noun again, or harm, talking about the womb, right? This place of mercy, you know. 4 times, I'm sorry, once as a as a regular noun, woman, this term. So it's in the Quran in its derivative forms quite a few times. It is repetitive, and we're reminded of Allah's mercy. We're reminded of His compassion. We're reminded. But where is it? We're reminded of it. Our faith dictates it. It's a standard in our belief. But why don't we see it? Where is it? When you turn around and you look at people who claim to have this type of faith, that their faith is so great, but yet they have no room to be merciful. They don't think about any mercy for anybody else. When it was declared that the military was on their way to assist Israel, and they were going to put all of their support behind Israel without thinking about what they had to do and how they were not going on a mission of mercy. They were going on a mission to add to the death toll. And so I'm calling on all of those involved to have a day of compassion. Have a day of compassion based on your faith. Your faith says that you should do this, you should do that, you should be merciful, you should be kind, you should spare people, you should spare love. Whatever faith you choose, dear brothers and sisters, you choose Christianity, fine. They have something that they say about mercy, about compassion. You choose Judaism. Judaism establishes that as a standard principle in their beliefs. When you look at Islam, Islam, you can't have Islam without mercy. You can't tell someone that I'm one who submits to the will of Allah and I'm not a merciful person, that I don't understand what it's like. I'm always talking about revenge. I'm always talking about some get back. Forget about the politics, dear brothers and sisters, because that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with Muslim, Jew, or Christian. It's about politics. It's about taking property from people. It's about land. It's about showing your dominance over someone. It's about you being merciless. It's about you seeking the death of those who are innocent, those who are defenseless. You see? You're not seeking the death of those who engage you in armed combat. You're killing people that are in their beds. People who are trying to go to the market. You're killing people that are going about their lives. But then we claim to have so much power, but Allah has power over all things. So dear brothers and sisters, in your du'as, please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call on him, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and say, Ya Allah, establish your compassion in Palestine. Establish your compassion in Israel. Establish your compassion over all of those people who claim to have some level of control, but they don't really have power with you as the true power. Ya Arham al-Rahimeen. Call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend some time on that. I don't want to hear nothing about someone telling me about they are people that are going out and they're protesting. Your biggest protest, dear brothers and sisters, is finding the compassion within yourself and standing before your Lord, making dua, calling on him, asking him. See, because the idea behind us sitting there arguing the point with someone who has already went on death is, they already have it in their mind, so it takes a lot to step in to change this condition. And it's not easy, dear brothers and sisters. It's painful. But where is the compassion? I want to know, dear brothers and sisters, where is the rahmah? Where is the mercy? May Allah help us so that we say Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله رب العالمين. In closing, dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, يا أيها الذين آمنوا آتوا الله وآتوا الرسول ولا تبطلوا أعمالكم. It says, O you believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger and do not allow your deeds to become vain. And we open with that in our closing, dear brothers and sisters, and we want to remind you when we talk about this idea, this pressing need to come to some terms here, a solution to the problem. There is a big problem, dear brothers and sisters, and we are to change it with our hands, and if not, our tongues, and then if not, we should hate it in our hearts. And the hate that we should have in our hearts is toward the thing that is absent of compassion. When we think about what has been said and done in the last 7 days, brothers, I need y'all to move up. Please, just move up a little bit. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. When we talk about the things that have been taking place in the last few days, dear brothers and sisters, we find that there's a lot of pain that has been distributed. There's a lot of insensitivity that's distributed. There's been a lot of blame. And people have been blamed for stuff that have nothing to do with anything. The Muslims have nothing to do with terrorism. Judaism or the Jews have nothing to do with this concept of oppression, occupation. They have nothing. That's not a Jewish tradition. That's not a tradition that's in Judaism. The Christians have nothing to do with that. And because we don't agree with that doesn't mean we side with anybody. How about siding with Allah? Siding with God? How about siding with God? How about siding with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When am I going to hear that on CNN? That they sided with Allah. They sided with God, and they realized that they have no other recourse but to be merciful and compassionate based on their religious tradition. Don't blame religious men and women knowing that the tradition that religion dictates is a tradition that's a standard, and it's nothing new. You have to do nothing special. You abide by it if you're truly religious. But if you're in politics, they use anything and anybody to justify what they're doing. They use anything and anybody to justify what they're doing. African Americans know that so well. During the slave trade, they used Christianity to justify slavery. And when we found out how to read, we began to get justification through them telling us that to be a good servant of God, you better be a good servant. This is what they told us. So they found religion to justify slavery. They found it and they used it. But before they began using religion, they were saying, well, you can't even come in this church. No, you're not allowed to learn how to read and things like that. But they used it. And these were not religious men and women. These were politicians, man. These were people that were into the politics. Into the politics. And so it hasn't changed. We still see the politics, dear brothers and sisters. And I'm not a political guy, but I'm not living under a rock either. And my religion tells me, in ja'akum fasikum bi nabain fatabayyanun. And when an unrighteous person bring you information, look into it carefully. When an unrighteous person bring you information, look into it carefully. And when you talk about the definition of an unrighteous person, it's somebody who gets the means of a thing and conveys it, but he has an alternative motive. So when CNN says something, I look into it carefully. When Fox says something, I look into it carefully. I'm not concerned about the report like that. I'm looking into it, and you should be looking into it. Don't let nobody tell you that your faith drives someone to do something. That's a lie. Your faith is saying, be peaceful, have some compassion. So don't tell me that these people that are orchestrating a genocide, that they're charged by religion. They're not. They're charged by politics. They're charged by some gain, and that gain is the land. During the month of Ramadan, I'll bring it up, in all fairness. The Muslims are praying Tarawih prayer. In the third holiest site in Islam. And they were establishing Salat, trying to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the challenges that they were facing in the land in which they lived. No sooner than they established the ranks for the Salah, they were stormed. The people stormed in with their boots on, and they're firing these rubber bullets and firing tear gas. Women and children are being knocked down. This is in the month of Ramadan, in the last 10 days, and they're trying to perform Tarawih Salah. No reason whatsoever. There was no justification, and they came back again, and then again, and then again. And this wasn't the first time that this was done. But what happens when you have politics, dear brothers and sisters? In politics, we do everything to provoke you. And then when you actually respond, now we take action on you. So who said that they had it together that much to just withstand this, and then something didn't happen? Somebody was watching that. Somebody. And then I don't believe strongly, dear brothers and sisters, that it had anything to do with anybody like they said. I think that it was orchestrated. Why? Because I'm a religious man. And I know that religion doesn't promote this idea. Religion doesn't do indiscriminate killing. Religion doesn't do transgression. Religion doesn't do that. Politics does. Politics does. Don't tell me about justice. Because the way they got it out in this day and time, justice does not necessarily work for me. It might work for you, but it may not work for me. So you may feel you got justice, but you've done me an injustice, but you feel you got justice. So I'm not asking for justice, dear brothers and sisters, as a religious man. I'm asking for compassion. See, because compassion, it involves everybody. Compassion means that I'm going to give it all the way around the board. Compassion. In closing, we want to remind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith Qudsi, and there's two of them, two famous Hadith Qudsi, right? The first one is the creation, in the creation. And one of the things that was said was, he says that the Prophet, who narrates on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this long Hadith Qudsi, but one of the things that he says, the first thing he says, Ya Ibadi, O my servant, haramtu ini, I have made unlawful for me, dhulm. He says, Ya Ibadi, haramtu ini, dhulm. I have made unlawful, prohibited myself from wrongdoing. On myself, right? Muharraman fala yatlamu ya ibadi. I've prevented myself from that. I've made it prohibited for myself to do wrong. So I'm telling you, oh my servants, do not be wrongdoers. Don't be wrongdoers. Don't cause oppression and harm on others. Because doom also means oppression. So he says, I'm forbidding oppression for myself. So I'm forbidding you, oh my servants, from being oppressors, for being people who cause harm to others. This is part of a long tradition. It's a famous, some of you already know the tradition that are here, but it's a long tradition. But the first part of the tradition talks about this idea concerning dhulm and oppression. One other tradition that I recall, where the creation was done and Allah created the pen. And then he says he commanded the pen to write. And the pen responded, what should I write? And he said, Sadaqat rahmatul Adami. And he says, My mercy shall supersede my wrath. And this is what the pen was ordered to write. The pen was ordered to write that Allah's mercy supersedes his wrath. Now for those of us who are seeking the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any affair, should always look toward the idea behind whether we deserve compassion. How compassionate are we? How merciful are we as a people? And I'm not just saying this to you as Muslims that are here present. I'm talking about all of those people who say they got religion. You want to show me how well your religion has has helped you. You want to show me how great your religion is? Well, today we need to see some compassion. So I'm calling on all of those, because I'm going to report what's being said here today. So I'm calling on all of you who are the powers that be to establish a day of compassion. Establish a day of compassion in relationship to the conflict in Palestine. In relationship to the conflict in Israel. And stop blaming religious men and women for something that's totally political. May Allah help us to that we say, I mean, ربنا اجعلنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه واقنا عذاب النار يا ارحم الراحمين يا ارحم الراحمين يا ارحم الراحمين على هم الذل والاكل القبور من المسلمين قبورهم واغفر لاهلهم ويسرهم امورهم اللهم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قوه اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم صل على محمد والمسلمين الحمد لله رب العالمين سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بهزبا ونجم والشجر يسجدا والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تلقوا في الميزان وأقم الوزن بالقسط ولا تقسم ميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة ونخلة أثمان والهلب ذو عصف وريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة Thank you.
through, man. He took us through all of that, man, you know, to come and get one mouth water.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. And Imam Mubarak once again. That was Khatib, Imam Abdul Aziz of Bronx, New York, Masjid Adams, Human Excellence. We're now going to go into the electrical Imam. Yes, Imam. Assalamu alaikum. Can you share any activity coordinated there in Bronx, New York, or around centered around Masjid Adams?
Yeah, well, we're continuing today. As I look out the window here, we're continuing today with our food distribution. The people are gathering, and as a result of them gathering, we're going to be setting up, and we're going to try to get a full distribution out of them today. And so that's where we're at right now. We're just going from the masjid to downstairs in front of the senior center, the Al-Hajjah Fajjah Tyson Halal Food and Clothing Distribution Pantry, and we're going to be operating out of there.
Okay.
We're operating out of there. Inshallah, we'll try to get out of here early. This has been one of those kind of weeks where, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on. They have a demonstration here in New York, which we're probably not going to be going down there to, and because we still have work on this side, and as I mentioned in the khutbah, we need to see the rahmah. We don't need the politics. Okay, the politics are there, as a means to identifying who they want to target, to identify with who's with them and who's not. And so the rage that you hear from these people who are supposed to be legislators, the rage in them, you know, is not normal. And it's all politics. And so we're not allowed as Muslims to be falling into that kind of stuff. You know, as Muslims, we're supposed to be on the side of what Allah says. And that should be our motivation. And if we're not, and we don't have clear access to that, we're encouraged to fall back and do what we can do from where we are. From where we are, so we're going to operate from where we are today, from in the Bronx, and we're going to continue in our effort to show them that Muslims are not about that. Muslims are not about that. I'm sorry. They want to label us. They want to do all of this stuff, and we're saying that if it's that much of a Muslim-Jew thing, then show me how much Jew you are and show me how much Christian you are, and we'll show you how much Muslims we are.
Well, thank you, Imam. Thank you so very much. And we know that New York is where the United Nations representation usually meets, which was about a month ago, that met right there in the area. And so here we are. And we continue with the work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated for each of us to be responsible for. Thank you so much for sharing with us today from your heart and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will for you to deliver and those who receive. May Allah bless them as well. Bless all of us. Thank you,
ma'am. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Juma Mubarakah.
Juma Mubarakah. All right, dear listeners, you've heard it from our khatib today, Imam Abdul Aziz, again, Bronx, New York. And we're going to go now to lecture for commentary of Imam Warith Al-Din Muhammad, Rahimallahu alayh, mercy of Almighty God be upon him. And we're going to share it from the point of leaders or leadership. And may we be blessed with an understanding of however it comes across, its meaning, the commentary, the information. One moment here. All right. While we're at it tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can join us for Community Developmental Stages with myself, Martha Naila Abdullah, and everyone who joins in with us. And then tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9:30 a.m. with Imam Kareem Hamid for Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. Then following that will be at 9:30 to 11, Imam Belaisa Umar Phillips brings on Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, along with his current guest, Professor Rabbani Muhammad and Michael Hameen. Following that, from 11 to 1, we will join with William Kareem on a New Day Community Radio, where we hear the interview and connect with Cavell with Quick Hitters. 7 p.m., Depreta Abdul-Hadi, who comes to us with Al-Islam in Focus. Just a moment, everyone, as we're wanting to get our commentary aligned here. Okay. Yeah, and I spoke of it being leaders. Okay, for some reason, but we're not going to dwell on whatever that reason is. We have to go to the commentary here. Inshallah. Thank you for your patience, and we're going to play a public service announcement while we connect with our commentary. All right? Okay, and that's still meeting on me here. We'll just say blame it on the weather.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. No, you won't. Because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you or anyone you may know big into sports? Having a unique ability to deliver opinionated yet knowledgeable sports takes? Or maybe you're a travel aficionado and love with and passionate about all things travel. From cuisine to hotel tips, modes of travel, one with the air, the land, and the sea. Even the best way to save a buck or two. Or do you have an interest in fashion? A keen eye for the movers and shakers within the realm of Islamic fashion? Perhaps a history buff? Maybe you're an expert in law, all things related to the Ummah and entertainment. Or a student proficient in the arts? An environmentalist, you are a renowned activist, or a writer with love for teaching and the deliverance of ideas via the pen, the keyboard, or if you're old school, the typewriter. If you share any of these unique talents, or know someone who does, and are interested in hosting your own radio show, then you've found the right place. Log on to www.cwsc.us for more information. We hope to hear from you soon, and inshallah, the world will begin to benefit from your unique talents and points of view. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Hello, dear listeners. I do apologize here. I am definitely having computer problems. Imam Kareem Hamid, if you can help, I was looking under leaders and Imam Wahidin Muhammad, Rahimullah Lay, was speaking on world leaders. That's where I wanted to go to share everyone. I think it was 1994, 96. But now as it will be, we'll share from whatever comes up here. Okay, perhaps we'll get it after this public service announcement, inshallah.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. No, you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, we're in the location, so we'll be sharing with you in just a moment, everyone. All right. Well, we're going to go with this, Prophecy and Today's World. This was in Cleveland, Ohio. And let's see, Prophecy and Today's World. No, that's only about 7 minutes, forgive me if I'm speaking to you. Please go to cwsc.us at any time and join us as we are asking everyone to participate with CWSC as we're connecting and communicating and collaborating with other leadership entities throughout the United States and internationally. All right, let's see here. All right. Give me one more moment, everyone, and I promise. Okay, again, this is Cleveland, Ohio. I believe this is it. No, that's two of two. One more. Of course, when we do get to it, we're going to truly enjoy, mashallah. Okay, we'll go with this. One, two. All right, card one should be Islam teaching. This is in Boston, Massachusetts, 1996. Phrases is the beginning of it, everyone, okay? Okay, let's begin.
If they get on it, they can't, it won't support them. Now, you know, if a person is materialistic and all they want is this material world, if you run out on the branch of human kindness, if they come out there to get you, they're going to drop. And their fall may be very, 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 very long. Very long fall. So God has given us a religion. If we live it and practice it, it will protect us from the strong. You don't have to worry. But it will protect us from the strong. We have God as our protector, but we also have our faith as our protection. And if we live this religion, have faith, have keep the faith and live it, that is a protection for us. The strong can get us. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was teaching, saying things that were really very disturbing in this world, or to this world. But because of the good behavior we had, and the good loving hearts and minds we had, we were protected. We didn't suffer. We weren't afraid of anybody. We weren't fearing that the Klan was going to come, or the police was going to come and storm the place, or storm the doors, break in and kill us. We weren't afraid of that. We didn't live with fear. We lived with faith. And we were beautiful in our hearts and beautiful in our spirit and mind. So God's protection was on us. And since the passing of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been trying to learn better what is this religion, Islam. From this, as the Imam speaker said here, Imam Talib, I believe it was he who said that this religion wants us to live the best, be the best, that's exactly what Islam wants us to be, the best. So when we come into Islam and its best references, fewest references, first number one reference is Quran. And then the lifestyle of Muhammad himself, how Muhammad the prophet lived this religion. With those references and with a religion motivating us always, or moving us always to be the best, we can be very successful in this world. And we have been very successful following the direction that we find in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And we have now come into, I would say, a renewed spirit. We were drooping for a while, beaten down by disappointments. But it looked like we have outlived that troubled period of time. And now I see a renewed spirit on this community, in this community. And it tells me that we are on the way to progress again. Not to any small progress, the dreams of a poor individual, but to big progress, the dreams of visionaries who envision the future for communities and nations and the whole of humanity on this earth. We're on our way in the road of progress. Progress for our community life. This is really a good time for us. God Most High, highly glorified is He says to us in our religion, and follow the best thereof. And follow the best thereof. This is a religion that puts emphasis on excellence. It wants us to strive for excellence in everything that we do and follow the best thereof. So if you're given a book and the book ask you to do a number of things or give you a number of guidelines for a better life, don't look for the weakest things to follow. Look for the strongest things to follow. Look for the strongest points. And make sure that you don't neglect those strong points. And try to live those strong points. That way, your life will be a strong life, and your life will be a life of excellence. And follow the best thereof. Muhammad the prophet has also told us of God. He says that God has prescribed or inscribed in the nature or in the natural makeup of everything excellence. Excellence. Therefore, if we understand the saying of the prophet, we believe that I am born for excellence. God has created me for excellence. If he has inscribed that upon my very nature, upon the very makeup that he made himself, that's me, if he has inscribed it upon it, then that means it's there before I'm aware of it. It's there before I'm conscious of it. It's a part of me. It is me. It's my life. Excellence. Isn't it wonderful? But the prophet didn't say that God did this just for people. He said for everything. So what does this tell us? This tells us that everything that God made was made, it was made to grow and progress or evolve into more and more excellence. And when we hear of the theory of evolution in our schools, high schools and colleges and universities, when we hear the theory of evolution, we as Muslims, we should want to relate that to the guidance on evolution that we have in our religion called the Quran and the teachings of the last prophet Muhammad. We should want to relate it to that, because here is the secular world telling us that everything, man, animal, even the material world, has undergone or is undergoing evolution or underwent an evolution and evolving. It starts out crude and small. And as it grows and lives, and it grows, it grows out of its crudeness and out of its smallness. That all life was once one cell. And from one cell, it became many cells. And finally into a complex creature like we are, the human being, this human structure, this human anatomy, this human biology that we have, grew from one simple cell to this complicated, very fine machine that no other machine can match, the living human machine. Grew to be that. And is that against the Quran? God says, and he created you from a small cloth, from an alaq. And some of the scholars who interpret this, they say this alaq is a small living thing, like a little small fish-like thing, a swimming thing. They say this alaq is really the life germ. The life germ. It's the life germ itself that evolves from the simple little thing, creature, that can't be seen by the naked eye, into what you are and what I am. Grown up human being. Everything is in the state of undergoes the stages of evolution until it evolves to where God intended for it to go or to be. This is secular world science, but this is also religious knowledge from the Quran and from other religions if we understand it. So if we are evolving, then we should always agree with that is promising us a better life and more progress. Because that is our destiny. That is our destiny. That is where God wants us to go. If God is evolving us, then God wants us to always accept to be a little better, to grow a little more, to progress a little further, that he prescribed or inscribed excellence for everything. And what does God say of the community? He says to us Muslims, you are the best of the communities. Evolve for all people. You are the best of the communities. Evolved for all people. Think about what is said here. God says we are the best, khayra ummatan, that we are the best of the communities evolved for all people. This tells us that there are also other communities evolved for all people. This new nation we call the United States of America, it is a new society among the societies of the world. And we who know something about its history, how it was conceived by its founding fathers, we can agree that this is a society or a community evolved for all people. It admits citizens from all parts of the world. And once those citizens become citizens, they are given the same treatment under the law that all other citizens are given. So this is a country conceived for all people. It was conceived to accommodate all people. People seeking freedom. Freedom from oppression. People seeking an opportunity to live a better life. To have more progress for themselves. Not only as individuals, but as communities. The Irish came here because they wanted a better life for Irish. The Polish. The Jews. The Spanish, the Spaniards, the French, all of them except us. We were brought over here for a worse future. But because of the nature of this idea, called Americanism, or, well, more correctly put, democracy, because of this idea, we too have benefited in this country. And though they brought us here for a worse future, we have a better future now. I know you will say it's because of Islam and Allah, yes, but also because of this idea. That invites all people to come who are denied and persecuted and denied their life they want in other places to come here. It's because of this idea, too. And we have to thank Allah for that. So we are people who should believe that we are created to progress. We are created to not to stand still, but to progress. We are created not to stay on the same level, but to graduate to higher levels. We are created not to have small things and be satisfied with small things, but to be motivated to have bigger things and better things. This is what we have to believe, just from this one statement. God says he has prescribed excellence for everything. And he also says of the community, we are the best community evolved for the good of all people. What Islam gives us to situate us for the good life and progress is ideas that are powerful. You accept those ideas, you don't have to be a scholar, but if you just accept the idea, if you just believe that God intended this for you, you're going to be better situated spiritually to accomplish more in your life. Just being told this. We weren't no great minds. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad, well, he too was no great mind, not formally. He didn't have any education. He was almost illiterate. Only 3 years elementary school education from Georgia. And you know what that 3 years was back there when he was a boy. Nothing to give any notice to. But he was motivated. He wasn't a scholar, he wasn't a great mind, he didn't have education, when he was told, you are the best, the righteous, the powerful. And he believed it because he thought God was saying that to him. He believed it. And just believing it put him in a better spirit to have a better life, to have a better future, to make progress for himself and for others. So don't underestimate the word of God. It's powerful message. It's potent force. When it comes into your head and into your heart and into your mind, you don't have to be a scholar. I don't think you have to digest it as a scholar digest it. All you have to do is accept it as an ignorant person accepts it who believes in God and trusts God. And it will start to work on your life. It'll start to work on your mind and on your spirit. It'll start to work in your soul as yeast in bread. It'll start to rise you up and make you better. Praise be to Allah. So what Islam gives us situates us better to have a good life and to have progress. How does Islam prepare us for global progress? Oh, the globe is too big. I haven't learned how to live and manage my own apartment yet, Brother Imam. Well, let me tell you something. If you get your mind made up to try to live, to have yourself respected on this earth, in the community of men on this whole globe, I guarantee you that power, that potent force in your head and in your soul and in your spirit, it will grow you up. It grow you too big for your apartment. After a while, you'll be too big for your house. You'll be too big for your block. You'll be so big until we'll see you out here representing Boston. Don't think small. Don't think small. Always think big. And if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a magic, if he had a miracle, that was his miracle. Talking big talk and getting big results from small people. Now, Allah wants us to know something about our relationships with each other. Allah wants us to know how the value of our relationship with our mate, man with his mate, woman with her mate, the man. Allah wants us to know the value of that relationship. That relationship wasn't created for us just to have sexual pleasures. That's beneath most animals. Most animals are also social animals. They're not just sexual animals. They're also social animals. They don't have sex just for each other. They have sex for their children, to have babies. And they realize that once they have babies, then they have to stop putting so much of their investment in just sex. They have to start putting some investment in the future of their children. Huh? This is the teachings of God to us in our great religion, in the Quran and in other books, if we understand it. So God wants us to know more about the value of these relationships so that we don't think of sex as intelligent people. We don't think of sex just on a sexual level. We think of sex as the foundation, the beginning of something good, something big, something great, and that's the family and society of man. When you look at a flower as a student of botany or studying the flowers, you look at that flower and you see it open up. You know it's sex organs. You can look right at its sex organs. They're exposed. But they don't suggest any indecency. Huh? They're so beautiful. Here God has given us a sign that I want you to see sex, your sex, like you see a flower. It's a beautiful thing. It should make a contribution to society. Huh? The bees go to the flower and they help mix the pollen, huh? So that there be germination, growth and multiplying of the flower, and the flowers yield something to the bees, and the bees take it and make honey. The bears like it, And we like it. And its message to our intellect and to our social interests is much bigger than its value in just sweet honey. Yeah. God wants us to see sex in its social role, not just in its physical role. Then we can have more respect for our families. We can have better families. We can have more respect for our relationships, man to woman, woman to man, and have better relationships, better marriages, better families. But this world drums up lust and makes sex funky. Yeah. So you have to fight that. That's Satan's influence. That's the influence of Satan. Want to destroy the social role of sex. So your family is brought down. Your neighborhood is brought down. Your society is brought down. And all of you living but nothing but for really monstrous pleasure. Yes. Some of the great artists who do satires on the society. They write the whole, they picture the whole society as nothing but a picture, a society of animals. Monsters. Yes. Because that's how they interpret it. That these people have fallen from the great platform of human excellence. They've fallen from that. And they've fallen to a life that is beneath any normal creature. So they are, their lives now, the lives of monsters. They're living the lives of monsters. We don't want that. We want to live the life that God intended for us, the life of human beings. Now, a man has to also understand the relationship for him with his possessions. Most people can't manage the relationship with their possessions. They will get a new job, a good job. They'll get much more income, and they will have much more material things in their lives, nice cars, nice home, plush furnishing and everything. They will have all that rich environment in the home, but they can't manage the relationship. They can't manage the relationship. For everything, there is a relationship. Science says this, and religion says this. For everything, there is a relationship. And you are not going to be left alone and unaffected by that relationship. If you're making $200 a week now, when you start to make $2,000 a week, if you had a problem in your relationship with $200, you're going to have 10 times that problem when you have $2,000. The problem is going to be multiplied, intensified, at least 10 times, you see? So everything, therefore everything, there's a relationship. And there's one relationship that if you accept it, and then accept revealed guidance from that, that's God. Your relationship with God, if you accept that relationship and honor that relationship, regard that relationship as you should regard it, and follow the guidance that God has revealed, that relationship will protect you from all other relationships. That's what religion does for us. It gives us a protection for all relationships. Whether it's with myself, because I have to have a relationship with myself. Some people, you can leave them alone by themselves, and their self will kill them in about 2 days. Yeah. You have to be able to manage a relationship with yourself and a relationship with your wife and with your husband or with your husband's sister and with your children and with the neighbors and everybody. You have to manage these relationships. And in Islam, we are told that the first conquest and the greatest conquest should be the conquering of your own self. You have to conquer your own self, to tame your own self, civilize your own self, refine your own self, command respect from your own self, so that your own self live the honorable life that God intended you to live. Then you walk in pride, you walk with dignity, you walk with a sense of great accomplishment. The hell, I manage my own self. And so, Then you won't feel the pressure of racism in the air. The hell, ain't no white man managing me. Ain't no combination of white nations managing me. I'm managing my own self. God says, we have certainly, God speaking, saying, we have certainly made honorable. That means made noble. Noble in O-B-L-E. Honorable. You know, it's the English that claim nobility more than any other nation. The Englishman claims nobility. He claims it and he hates everybody else that don't understand it. The Irish didn't catch on to that nobility. He put some hurting on the Irish. The Scots, it looked like they couldn't catch on to that idea of nobility. He put some hurting on the Scots, on the people of Scotland. Yeah, he put some hurting on them. You look like a white man, but something wrong with you. I'm going to have to beat you until you learn what this nobility is all about. God says he's certainly made honorable, made noble, every child of Adam. I don't care how white you are, how black you are. According to the language of the scriptures, Quran, Judaic Bible, and also the Quran, Bible, Quran, and the Judaic, the Torah, all of them say the same thing. According to those scriptures, no matter how white you are, how black you are, you're a child of Adam. And God says he made honorable, noble, every, kulli. You speak some Arabic? Kulli means every. Each and every, kulli. Bani, child, descendant. Adam of Adam. Qad karamna, qad, certainly, indeed. Karamna, we made noble and honorable. Kulli bani, every descendant, Adam of Adam. Now, if you let that statement enter your head and you believe it, it's going to enter your heart. It's going to enter your soul. It's going to enter your spirit. It's going to affect your spirit. And you're going to start growing out of your inferiority. Because God said he made you noble. And noble men qualify for all positions in a society. Is that right? That's their history. See, that's not our language. We didn't make nobles and lords. They did. So if you accept that, then you must then walk with pride, not with shame on you. Walk with pride. Say, God, maybe I don't have the education. Maybe I don't have the skills. But God created me to be president of the United States of America. To be the president of this bank. To be in charge of trade or commerce. You have to believe that. We have African-American men and women now in this country moving up into these very special positions that we thought we would never get into. The Doubting Thomases, they said, no, white man will never let you get there. But those who believe in their own inherent nobility, they said, the white man doesn't have to let me, I'll get there on my own. Now, we are shown one man so that we will believe in what God has given us. Because God hasn't given any man something that he didn't give every man. Not in his natural creation. In our natural creation, God gave us all the same. But it's the mercy of God that gives some of us better situations than others, better circumstances than others, better opportunities than others. So because of that, in time, we are more qualified than others that did not get these favored situations or favored circumstances or opportunities, right? Yes, we know that these differences exist, and we understand them. But we come right back to what is given by God to us in Scripture. That is that when he created us, he created us and he made us all equal in our creation. That means whatever any other man was given to work with or to live by or upon for his future, he gave it to every other man. Didn't give one race something that he didn't give the other race. Gave all the races the same. And that's what the Quran is addressing when it says, our holy book is addressing, when it says, he certainly made honorable and noble every descendant of Adam. We come to the idea now in Islam is called Tawheed. And Tawheed comes from a word meaning one. It's just one, O-N-E, one. And Tawheed can be translated maybe literally oneness, oneness, oneness. What it really says is this, that God is one. And upon that fact or that reality, we must reason then that God's creation is one. That is, that the creation must have a unity. The creation must have a law that's throughout, that runs throughout that whole creation. The creation must not be foreign to itself and without being also akin to itself. And that its unity is stronger than its diversity. Its oneness is more powerful than its diversity. We are many and diversified as living things are. Animals and plants and all things are many and diversified. We are many and diversified. But the unity, the common, the sameness, the commonality, the sameness is stronger than the differences. It is not our color that holds us together. It's our humanity that holds us together. We are not held together even as a family at home by the colors. If that was the case, then we'd have to carefully select the color of the husband or the color of the wife. See, I want my family to stay together, so I better make sure she's exactly my shade. Because differences in color is going to break up my family. That's not the case. It's the humanity. It's the same human life that we share with each other. I have the same life, human life that you have, sister. You have the same human life that I have, sister. And that's what God means when he says that he made male and female of one. He made us of one. And he made us two of the one thing, of the one person he made us two. From our one humanity, he made us male humanity and female humanity. And then he spread from those two many men and women, nations and tribes all over the world. This is what God teaches us. So we are the same. That's why husband and wife can sit down and talk to each other, resolve their problems, as long as they respect each other as equals. The man say, but I have a superiority over her. Yes, you do. And God tells you what that superiority is. It's in your muscles. And in your wealth. And in your money. Now, if you ain't got either one of them, brother, you out of it. But as far as your soul, God made her soul and your soul the same. She's a human soul and you a human soul. And her human soul evolved into a humanity, and yours evolved into a humanity. And your humanity is not superior to her humanity. And her humanity is not superior to your humanity. This is reason from the concept or the idea of Tawheed. So this idea tells us that the creation is one, that this material universe of many planets, stars and planets and moon, everything, satellites, all this stuff out there in space, this vast universe of so many material bodies in space, when you look at them, you can see a unity. So Allah says, look at it. Can't you see that it was joined together once? Though it appears separated from you now, earth and sky? Now it took science, astronomy, to show us that earth and sky are united. Man used to think that earth was the center of the universe. This was like a platform that he was sitting on, and all that other stuff was nothing but lights in his ceiling. But with knowledge, with science, he come to know that he ain't nothing but a light in the ceiling too. That the earth itself ain't nothing but a light in the ceiling, and a small one at that. So he came to believe that this the material world or universe is one system. And that's said in the term or the expression, universe. Uni meaning one, verse meaning birds. Eh? One verse. Though it has many verses, we can perceive it in its totality as a universe. Isn't that wonderful? As one single verse. And I guess that one single verse would be its universal law that holds it all together. As a universal law holding all this material creation together and having it operate in a way that makes it serve life and man or mankind. This Tawheed, it goes on to say that though we are of different nationalities or races, we are one people. That all of us are brothers and sisters. Now I know this sounds churchy to you Muslims. But it's the truth. When we say Islamic Brotherhood, we're saying the same thing that Christians say when they say brotherhood. Islamic Brotherhood, what is it supported by? Islamic Brotherhood is supported by the belief that God made the first parents, and all the people on earth are children of the first parents. So they are created brothers and sisters. So the Muslim want to go back to that idea. He wants to accept the brother, the person, no matter what skin color they got, or what nationality they have, he wants to accept them as his brother in one family of Muslims. So that's the brotherhood of Islam. It's established upon the brotherhood of man, the belief that man is a brotherhood. All people form one brotherhood. We are brothers and sisters of each other. Not in the flesh anymore, because the flesh has multiplied and families have been formed that are closer to each other in their physiology, in skin color, in other things, in description, these physical descriptions, and also spiritual descriptions. We become different, right? So it is not that we are brothers and sisters in that, but God made you from one single human design. One single human pattern. Sister, you know something about patterns. God made you from one single human pattern. And you're mixing and going through different parts of the world and taking on the environmental influences and being formed by those influences into different features and different people have not made you different in terms of your human pattern. So you are still the children of Adam. You are still the children of the original pattern. And in that, you are spiritual, soul-wise brothers and sisters. Right? Yes, this is the common idea. Now, how is this going to help us to live with ourselves and to live with our neighbors and to live with another race? How is this going to help us? Don't think about it. Don't think about it. You don't have to think about it. Just let it enter you and accept it. It does its own work. It does its own work. Once it goes in you, it's a potent force. It's a potent germ. It's a potent life force. Once it goes into you, it starts to reshape you if you shape wrong. You don't have to think about it. Just accepting what you're being told now from the scripture is going to begin to influence the shaping of your mind, the shaping of your feelings, your thoughts, and everything. It's going to make you conform to that idea that you have accepted. And if you accept the idea of Tawheed, it's going to make you conform to the idea of Tawheed, and it's going to prepare you to live with yourself, with your family, with your neighbors, and with another race, and make success on this earth. Doesn't mean everybody going to be beautiful. It just means some people are going to be in good shape, and others will not be in good shape. The ones in good shape, they will be able to manage their lives and make a contribution to the betterment of the whole society. They'll be able to go out front. They'll be able to do charity with a kind word and ignore the ignorance of the savage who's backwards and retarded socially, and he still carries the idea of a superior race in him. You'll look at him and see him as nothing but a little small creature that came out from under the stone in the daylight and ran back under the stone because the daylight was too bright for him. And you'll pity him, and you'll want to help shade him until he can mature socially and come out from under the stone into the light. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not. I believe in cracking his head with a club or with a bat or something when he's trying to do harm to other people. But if we don't kill him, I believe in getting him some medical help, put him back in good shape, and then put some more shade on him and work on him until he can gradually come out into the sun. Now, I know this city has been marked. We read about it in Chicago, Boston, city with more institutions of higher learning than any other city in the United States, but got a race problem. Well, I hope you can give this to the press. W.D. Muhammad, Wallace D. Muhammad, said at the Strand Theater, today, Boston has no race problem. Boston has a mind problem. And that mind problem is not only in the whites, but it's also in the blacks. So if you get the problem out of your mind and they get the problem out of their mind, you see it ain't no race problem. It's just two retarded social groups. See, something is wrong with us, and we have to charge everything that a another race does to us as racism. Something is wrong. Something missing up here. Now you go home and you complain to each other. Say, look, I didn't tell you could wear my shoes. What you doing wearing my shoes? Or why you slept in my bed and didn't make it up? I didn't tell you to sleep in my bed. Now you can't sleep in my bed. White man tell you you can't sleep in his bed. He's a racist. We have to stop blaming everything on racism. Start listening to these new scholars on the campuses. Listen to these new African-American thinkers on these campuses who are telling us that we just gone too far with these ideas of the past. We need to rethink them and come up with more logic in order to deal with the problems of the future. This is new thinking now. We have to embrace that new thinking. We have to be more rational now and less emotional. More rational and less impulsive. To survive in the world to come. The world to come is the world that the Quran prepares us for more than any other book. The Quran prepares us for the coming world more than any other book. And it should, because it's the latest of the books. We believe in the evolution of the messianic figure, the messianic person. We believe in the evolution of that messianic person. Starts with the first man, Adam. He's a messianic figure. And it ends with Muhammad, the last prophet. He brings us to the idea of the global community, that man is one community. That the man, all people are one community. You have to prepare yourself to live on this earth as one community. One community of man. Huh? So you respect each other. So you learn to live with each other and cooperate with each other, as Allah tells us in the Quran, and cooperate with each other. Support each other. Upon what? Righteousness and regardfulness. And deny each other your cooperation or your support when it's upon what? Sin and bigotry. It's what Utwan. Sin and bigotry. So the Quran is telling us to deny another Muslim or anybody our support if they're asking them to support them on some racist idea. If they're advocating hatred for another group of people, we are not to give them our support. We are to deny them our support. Now, I think Farrakhan is a strategist. I think Minister Farrakhan is a strategist. I think he's a great gang worker. And who knows, maybe Allah has him here for that purpose. Maybe we're getting a lot of benefits from his strategy and his game working. But I know I'm not going to support him when he stands upon racism, when he asks me to come and join him upon some racist idea that one race is superior to another, or that one race is the friend and another race is the enemy. We've always had some white friends among the people. Yes, even during slavery, we had some white friends. Never was a time when they all were our enemies. A lot of them died to get us in a better situation. Now, I know it was just a very few. Very, 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 very few. But we had some way back there. I can say we made a whole lot of progress. Well, I can count about four or five right now that I know that's my friend. White folks. In fact, I grew up to 10 already. If I keep counting, I might come up with about 25 white folks that I know are my friends. Now, you know, if we judge like God judged, God in the Bible tells a prophet that wanted to see the town destroyed, if you can find one good man there, I'll save the town. Yes. Why? Because if there's one good man there, there's proof that there can be many good men there if you change the condition. So if there was only one good white man doing our enslavement, that was proof that if we work on it, we could change the condition and there could be more good white men. And that's exactly what happened. History and experience proved that to us, that there were not just a few, there were many good white women, men and women. They just had to be worked on for a while. I'm going to conclude this by saying that Muslims should start always with self. And you should try to do as much as you can to keep yourself in good shape, in good order, in good condition. Then you should go to the thing that you're responsible for. If it ain't a child, if you got an apartment, you're responsible for that apartment. Try to put that apartment in good condition. If it's a vehicle, try to keep that vehicle in good condition. Because Allah, your God, is going to judge you by your treatment of the things in your responsibility. Not just human beings, children, but also material possessions. Start with yourself first. And then move out of the individual self to see yourself as a member of a society. Sharing a part of the responsibility for that society. And try to live up to your responsibility as a member with a share of the responsibility for that society. Whether that society be your family, your neighborhood, or the city you live in, or the world you live in. Try to grow up to that. And as a Muslim, know that your job, your main job, is to support the growth of Muslim community. The growth of Muslim community is much more than a little storefront to have meetings in, or to do prayers in, a Jumu'ah prayer. It's much more than that. The obligation of a community is as big as what you see when you look at Boston. You should be striving to grow up your community, so that your community is recognized as being responsible for housing, for neighborhoods, for businesses, for political life in that area. And you should be tied into the government, the local government and the federal government, you should be tied into that. You should have people representing you, tied into the local and federal government, because you are part of the whole nation. And you should be in competition with the other people who are tied into the federal, local and federal government, the local and federal governments. You should be in competition with them. You should feel that God has prepared you to be not less than anybody else. You shouldn't be looking at the world saying this is a white man world. You should be looking at the world and saying this is God's world. The earth belongs to Allah. Allah says that in the Quran. And Allah says the earth is my mosque. The earth is my mosque. That's what God says in the Quran. The earth is my masjid. See, some of you all have forgotten English. You don't know what mosque is anymore. So I have to say masjid. Yes, God says the earth is my masjid, my mosque, my house of worship, the whole earth. Are you a Muslim?
Yes.
Is China on this earth?
Yes.
China says, God says China is my mom. My message. So if I get the means, the wherewithal, to do more than represent Islam in America, to represent it also in China, I should go there with no second thought. I shouldn't be thinking, oh, I can't do nothing in China. God says China is his mom. God says England is his mom. Huh? Paris is his mom. France is his mom. All these places, his mom. God says Ghana is his mom. Huh? Nigeria is his mom. Now, shouldn't you feel bad knowing that you came from over there and his mom is in bad shape? Yes, let us work to have community establishment. And community establishment, as God wants us to have it, means providing everything that a community requires. That's what it means. You don't have to have a separate government to have that. Other ethnic groups, they've been doing it all the time. You go to the Irish quarters of Chicago, you find the Irish running the government, local government. You find the Irish running the banks, the business, they're running everything. And they tied into all the other governments so that they are not left out or shortchanged, so that they cooperate for the benefit of the whole, so they don't hurt the whole. They stay in tune with what is happening so that what they're doing is not affecting any other part of the United States in a bad way. We have to have sensible, responsible people with big minds like that to rise up in this community and take on more responsibility. Thank you very much. May God guide us to the truth. Have mercy on us always. Amen. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Takbir. 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 Brothers and sisters, all praise is due to Allah. We're going to ask you to please remain in your seats and please allow the imam and the party time enough to leave. We've been well satisfied this evening. We thank Allah for that beautiful address. And in the meantime, we're going to ask you to help show your support for what Imam Muhammad has brought us. But we're going to ask the brothers and sisters with the buckets to please come by in order to help us to pray some of the costs and expenses for bringing the imam here. So I thank Allah for all of you for coming great distances, and I'm sure the time that you spent coming here is going to be rewarded. I know you have plenty to go back to your respective mosques and areas and benefit. What we got here was a charge for taking the word, what Imam Muhammad has given us, and put it to work in our respective communities. If we do that, by the time Imam comes here for the next address, you're going to see greater and greater and greater progress. So again, I don't see the brothers and sisters with the buckets, but if you're there, please, please give a donation, because it was a very costly program to put on by relatively few people. We want to thank the Dawah Committee. We want to thank you.
856, your hand is up. Please share with us your thoughts. Assalamu alaikum. 856. Area code. Can you hear me? 856. But we also have our faith as our protection. And if we live this religion, have faith. 856373. It's a protection for us. The strong can't get us. I remember Donald Elijah Muhammad. He was teaching same things that were really. Okay. Perhaps your background probably produced made your hands rise. All right, dear listeners, we're going to ask that you join us tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right? God's peace be upon you.
This is Martha Nyla Abdullah. That will be for community developmental stages. Assalamu alaikum. See if we can get our music started here. If such, we will. Okay, we can't rightfully in enough time. I won't hold you, your listeners. Thank you once again for being here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You have a blessed rest of the day.